Maybe a simpler way to phrase this, Bob, is we've had time now. We're the beneficiaries of a little bit of reflection time. How bad was that loss? I thought it was horrendous myself. Born of horrendous decision-making, an offense that couldn't finish and a defense that couldn't finish in a game that should have been won against a crappy team. I'm not taking that back. I thought it was a horrendous loss, honestly.
Yeah, I did too, because the fact that there was so much on the line for them, that's why I thought they'd have a different response on a Thursday night. Knowing there was some extra days off afterwards, you build up a little insurance in your record of 9-2. Gives you a little bit of more breathing room against this gauntlet of games. And instead, they came out a little flat and allowed that, when Cleveland got involved in the game, then you knew it was going to be a game. But they just got their butts handed to them in New Orleans, 35-14. They got outplayed, out-schemed, and then 3 days later, they come and kind of do the same to the Steelers. It didn't look good, and so it was a very bad loss.
Let's go to our decisions segment, Bob. I know this is your favorite. You and I and Limits will weigh in on key decisions from the game. Let's start in the first half with one of the very first ones. It's 3rd and 3 at the Cleveland 32. Nice little drive they had. Beautiful drive, I thought. And then Russ takes a sack. That can't happen, but then the decision, 4th and 11 from the Cleveland 40. He goes for a 58-yard field goal. Even in those conditions, I'd be a hypocrite if I said that I don't like punting, or if I didn't say I hate punting from the other team's 40 and I love Boz. Give him a shot. I didn't have a problem with this one. You?
I didn't have a big problem with it. No, my thought was after the sack, and it was Myles Garrett who got around Dan Moore and Isaac Seumalo on that play. That's a big loss. It was essentially a 10-yard difference in terms of the field goal. So 58 in those conditions with the wind howling was a little risky. I thought he was going to punt it down, trap them in, inside their own 20, let their defense go to work. That's what I thought, but that's not a decision that I was irate over for sure.
I wasn't mad about it. I mean, Boswell in those types of situations has been really good. It is surprising that I think Tomlin let him kick that with the elements being what they were before it ended up snowing and not in a dome in Indy earlier this year, which could have potentially been a difference maker. Not that big of a problem with it, but I also would have punted.
Man, punting from the other team's 40. I guess maybe you take a delay a game and give your guy a little more room. I don't know. I hate that.
Yeah,
no,
but if you pin him deep.
Why not give Boswell? You don't have confidence he can kick a 58-yarder anywhere?
It was just
I
the wind. Right before then, they showed the wind on the flag up above. It was really not an easy wind. And you saw the direction of that ball as soon as he hit it. It went veer right.
Right with the wind.
Yeah, so that's the only thing I would say about that. If it was not as windy, I would have done it. Because it was, I would have tried to pin them in their own 10-yard line if I could and make things a little difficult for them.
All right, decision number two. It's a 0-0 game. You're at 4th and 2 at the Cleveland 38, and Justin Fields comes in, and he is stopped. That was the one where the play clock ran down,
Yeah, it correct? Was just like haphazard, it looked
haphazard.
Like to me.
It wasn't well rehearsed. He should have called timeout. God knows he was wasting timeouts in the second half. Why not use a timeout when it's actually completely warranted? We don't look organized. The play clock's running down, and the play looked like crap. The decision itself to go for it, I'm all for, but it's combined with a decision not to call timeout, Bob.
Yeah, I thought timeout was prudent there. That's one of those situations you saw the clock ticking down, and you say to yourself, all right, this is 4th and 2, and if you're not careful, it'll become 4th and 7 and change your mind. You have a chance with him in here to get a first down. They rushed to get the playoff. It looked like the blocking scheme was to the left. He went to the right. There was confusion.
Yeah. Bread, what do you think?
Bread.
Mm. What?
I
don't even know who you are anymore.
Bread?
I
had Wonder Twins on my mind. I've already gone
What's
Twin Cities.
What's that guy's
Cities.
Name? Fred Savage?
Yeah.
Is that his name?
I've gone Twin Cities. I've gone everything. And then Wonder, I thought.
He does
Bread.
Have a first name.
Yeah.
It's Austin.
Carol. Go ahead, Bread. What did you think of going forward on 4th and 2?
I thought that it was just not good in terms of how rushed it was. And Tomlin, I mean, we're going to talk a lot more about his timeout usage. That would have probably been a good one. But Justin Fields also did not read the play well enough. If he would have cut back to the left, there was an open lane there.
Right, that's what I thought.
So, I mean, I was okay with the decision to go for it on fourth down, but Fields just didn't execute. He did not.
Yeah, I'm all aboard with the decision, too. But, yes, just come on. A lot of this game was on Tomlin's mismanaging of the game. And, therefore, he gets most of the blame. All right, the next one.
But I will say that did not result in anything because they got the ball back and, you know, they shanked a punt.
Yeah, I know. I know. But the next one was 4th and 1 at their own 46, losing 10-3 early in the third quarter. He goes for it again, and this time Jaylen Warren gets blown up. What'd you make of that decision?
Yeah, I don't know. That one is, again, one of those in-between decisions for me. I wasn't lukewarm about any. I thought you could have done a lot of things there. The blocking scheme on that was not good. I thought the offensive line had their issues in that game. And once that became apparent, I wouldn't have trusted play calling in that situation. I probably would have kicked it.
I would have kicked it too.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, you expect mistakes to be part of this game. They won the turnover battle, Joe, but because, you know, they got those late, it didn't necessarily, you know, they could have created something early in the game, taken the lead,
I like
and forced
being aggressive
that team.
Here. I like being aggressive, and you know what? I wouldn't have minded using Justin Fields again. I like being aggressive there. And if Justin Fields isn't, was he in the game at that point, or did Russ just hand to Warren? I can't remember.
Russell handed off to Warren, who was also standing about 8 yards back from the line of scrimmage, where the Browns on the same play gave it to Nick Chubb, lined up as a fullback, and they picked it up with ease.
I don't mind going for it there. I have to tell
you. Well, did you like
the
play call then?
You're trying to take advantage of a turnover. You just got a fumble, and you're trying to score. You're trying to win. You're trying to be aggressive. You're there to win. You're not living in your fears, Bob. Did I like the play? Yeah, I don't hate the play call. It's Jaylen Warren. I have confidence in him. The one argument against me.
I do agree what he said, Austin, is that when you line a guy, it's like fourth and short.
Why not the tush push? Not the tush push with Fields?
Even Fields under center, you can do things there as opposed to standing him 5 yards behind the 1 yard you need.
Didn't Russ get stopped last week on a quarterback sneak?
Yeah, but he's not the best at that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They didn't do the tush push right there. How complicated is that? Have your 230-pound quarterback Fields line up under center with Najee behind him and push him behind your, you know, one of the top five centers in football. Come on. This can't be that complicated.
Yeah,
the success rate
on those plays is very, very high.
I don't like how they're getting stopped on all these short yardage plays. All right, the next decision. Mike Tomlin, for some reason, calls a timeout before a 4th and 1 play at the Cleveland 22, which I guess you can defend in the end because they got it. They got it on a pass to Freiermuth, and they wind up with a field goal. But, Bob, that's a squandering of a timeout, too. I guess I'm 50-50 on that because I just blamed him.
Right. You just said earlier, and if there's confusion or whatever.
There confusion
I don't know. I don't remember specifically on that play. I do remember the 4th and 2. It seemed like they had a long time trying to figure out what they were going to do, and then they rushed the play. I don't think that was the case there. But I would have taken a timeout there. I didn't have a problem with that usage of timeout. Those are critical downs, and that's okay.
Yeah, I agree. I really didn't have a problem with it. Also, being in the first half with a chance to go in and score points when you desperately needed it.
No, it was in the second half.
Oh, you're talking
We're into the second half now. Yeah, he squandered one of his 3 timeouts in the second half to call timeout before a 4th and 1 play on which there didn't appear to be confusion. I don't know, man. I guess generally the operation needs to be a little bit smoother than what it looked like. One time the play clock's running down, we don't call timeout, we don't get it. And then another time it's 4th and 1, and just to make sure of everything, we call timeout. And then you're left with 2, and that brings us to the next decision, which was a big decision, which was, do you want to make them be 3rd and 2 or 3rd and 7 or 4th and 2, Bob? And then somehow in the midst of this, Tomlin calls a timeout that they desperately needed at the end. Why did he call time out there?
Here's the thing. To me, they had plenty of time because there was confusion about the call. The officials huddled up. There was time to figure out what you were doing as they were trying to figure out what they were going to call. I thought it was a grounding play. I think that was because you knew it didn't get back to the line of scrimmage, but because it hit that offensive lineman, I guess they ruled it illegal touching, which saved them.
No, they ruled it right. That's why they ruled it illegal touching. I thought they actually explained it well on the broadcast why they didn't call grounding, because he got hit in the middle of his motion, was their ruling.
Yeah, but you got to get the ball back to the line of scrimmage.
Well, not if you get hit like that. Like, if you imagine him getting hit, didn't happen.
Whatever. Whatever. The case was, you asked about the timeout. I thought there was plenty of time to hash out what you were going to do. They originally said they were going to decline the penalty, then accept the penalty, then decline the penalty. They went back and forth like three different times. And so they ended up taking a 3rd and 7. Here's the choice there, Joe. I would have forced them to go 4th and 2. I wanted
to
see. They had one play at that point. By giving them another down, if they were thinking four-mindedness, you know, they were going to go for it on 4th regardless, you gave them an extra down. So you gave them 2 chances to get the 7 yards
and
as opposed to 1.
And you're desperate for time.
Now, there was a shot they may kick a field goal. It was, you know, tough conditions, probably not, but it was 43 yards. If they had done that, you would have had plenty of time to come back and get your own with Boswell. So I would have preferred my personal preference is take the 4th and 2 and see what you got.
This was a disaster because you squandered a timeout. You lost time, precious time in the game. And they wound up converting. I mean, the whole thing was a disaster. Here's why. You basically said it. Why I forced them into 4th and 2. You call their bluff on a field. You want to try a 43-yard field goal? Go ahead. Then we still have 2 timeouts and plenty of time to come down and win the game. So go ahead and take a field goal. Or, all right, you're going to go for it 4th and 2? That's the ball game then. Either get it or you don't. We call our defense. Then if you want to call, would you call timeout there maybe to set your defense? I don't know. That's a story for a different time. But I would have called them their bluff on all of that. And I bet you Cleveland would have called timeout right then.
See, that's the other thing. You would have forced them maybe to take one of their timeouts. So
the whole thing just blew up in their faces. And as you notice, as we're going along with all these decisions, they're all occurring on 4th down plays. Indecision. Wasting of timeouts, not converting. The other team is converting. The game really came down to a series of 4th down decisions in a lot of ways.
Unusually more than you would see in a game. You know, the fact that they went 4 for 4 on 4th down and 1 for 10 on 3rd down is mind-boggling to me. You never see that kind of a stat.
So now you're down to 1 timeout. Wonder Twin thinks they should have let Chubb score on 1st and goal from the 9. Do you agree?
I would not have had a problem with that if they did it. Knowing that you're down with your timeouts, you have to score at some point. You assume they're going to score. Once they played that up straight up, then I thought, okay, now you got to stop them because now you let too much time run away, and then he scores anyway, which put the pressure on them to come down and get a touchdown. So if it's early in that possession, I would have done it. Since it wasn't, and they were playing straight up, then I would have tried to do.
But what
they
are
did.
You stopping them for? They're just going to kick a field goal at the end of the game then.
Well, maybe or maybe not. I mean, it depends on how you – I don't know. That's always a hard one for me. There are a lot of people who thought Chubb should have just slid at the 1 yard line.
He should have.
Again, you're taking the chance. Dustin Hopkins missed 3.
I disagree with that. I do disagree with that because of the conditions. You take the touchdown, you make them.
Yeah, because and you're forcing them to score a touchdown all the way down. And who knows what's going to happen? He missed 3 field goals last week. One of them was only 31 yards. This would have been a similar.
But I do agree with Brad that they should have let Chubb score on first down.
I mean, if you do that, fine. You'll get the ball back, but you got to go.
I don't like bread. It's good to eat, but not to be called.
All right, we'll skip bread.
Yeah.
We'll go back to Twin Cities.
I feel like if you, or just Austin, my name, if you score on 1st down, you save an extra 30 seconds or so. And if you're Chubb, you could slide at the 1 yard line. And the success that they had running the football in the second half, they could have just waited another play, ran it in, or set up wherever you want for Hopkins. Even a 19-yard field goal with the ball at the 1 yard line right down the middle. I mean, unless you're Blair Walsh, you're not going to miss it.
Bob?
Remember
what
that
do you think
one,
of
Bob?
That?
Remember that Blair Walsh?
These are
field
all
goal?
Strategic things that are called, and I wouldn't have a problem if they had done it. But that puts the pressure on them to go down and score then. And if you're going to do that, let him go early, save time because you need the time without as many timeouts as you would have liked to have had, and then try your shot, yes. But, you know, they chose not to do that. So I could have seen it. I would have played it straight up and forced them to take a field goal, and I still think there would have been time left to get one of your own. It wouldn't have been a lot of time, but all you need is a few yards compared to a touchdown in that situation.
All right. And then I guess we're left with the whole, this is not a decision. Well, I guess it is. Of what happened with George Pickens, now that we've had some days to digest this, what happened on that Hail Mary?
Did you see the one angle from the person in the stands?
What did it show?
I'll show it to you. It shows George Pickens with a stranglehold over Newsom's head.
Yeah.
Taking him out of the end zone. I don't think they knew where they were because you couldn't tell where the end zone ended.
What was he doing? I mean,
I don't know. Did
Newsom run him out of the end zone or no?
I'm going to show you this play and you tell me what you think when we go to a break.
It seems clear from what Mike Williams said that the play was to have one jump ball guy and three guys standing there, which is fine.
But normally on that sort of situation, you have to anticipate that the ball's going to be batted forwards as they try to knock it down. You should have someone standing at the goal line also, just in case that happened. There was nobody around the ball, the Browns players.
Well, but everybody was mad that nobody jumped. It seems clear to me that Pickens was supposed to be the jump ball guy, which makes sense. And then the other three guys are waiting for the ball. If too many of the Browns players jump, then you get a commander's play where it just falls right into your lap. He said that was the play. One guy was on a jump ball. Obviously, that guy was Pickens, who by that time was fighting people in the stands practically.
Again, though, if you look at it, and people made it sound like Newsom was driving him away into the end zone, but it looked to me like the other way. Like it was
both
of them.
Well, if it was the other way, then it was selfish of him to do that.
Well, I'll show you what I saw, and you tell me what you thought. It's difficult to tell because, again, it was all snowy. You couldn't tell footing, what was going on. There was a lot of contact. And we had people call us and say, why wasn't there pass interference? When was the last time you saw a pass interference called on a Hail Mary? They just don't call
it. It's not going to happen.
Right? Unless you tackle a guy or something really blatant, you're not going to call that. It's a jump ball situation.
But it didn't seem like one Steeler receiver knew where the football was.
Well, that's what I mean.
Pat Freiermuth had his back to the ball.
They were waiting for a tip. Those guys were grounded for a reason. I guess you have to adjust. Do you notice that Pickens is running past you toward the crowd? And can you adjust to that or do you stick with the play? Like if you're told you're grounded, in other words, you're waiting for the tip. That's the whole play. It seems to me that if Pickens was focused on running Newsom out of the end zone, was like ticked off, that was unbelievably selfish. If it was Newsom running him out of the end zone,
right,
then it should have been a penalty.
Well, they're not going to call penalties on that play, regardless. They're just not. I don't remember the last time there was one called.
Could I bring up one more decision that no one's talking about?
Please limit.
The two-point play? A fade ball to Cordero Patterson.
Yeah,
really?
I don't like that. I didn't like the personnel grouping.
I agree with you.
Yeah, that just didn't make a lot of sense.
It's a completely different game if you get that two-point conversion. You defend it completely differently. And, I mean, Mike Tomlin probably makes it fourth and two.
I completely agree with you there.
And Cleveland, I would think, kicks the field goal, ties the game.
Although that should have been a penalty. That was blatant in the end zone. Blatant. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, there were a lot of those calls. I mean, you can make those kind of claims throughout the course of the game. There was a holding on Nick Herbig on the Winston touchdown.
I mean,
didn't call that, but that was right in front of the guy. I thought if he was going to call it, he could have called it because he was clearly being held, but they didn't call it.
You know, at the start of the season, I thought that Artie Smith was a little bit too obsessed with getting Cordero, his guy, involved in the offense, and then Cordero made some plays. The Indy game, 6 carries for 43 yards on a day he got hurt. But by and large, he's done nothing, and he doesn't look good in doing nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
There's going to come a time. Is he hurt? If he's hurt, then don't have him out there. He just doesn't look effective at all, Bob, whether it's kick returns or anything else. Would you agree?
Yes. Before I forget this, you mentioned Pickens a lot. What about his post-game comments? Are you bothered by that? Let's get into that next.
It's a wonderful question that I was going to get into. And then the top of the hour, we're going to talk a little hockey and Pitt football and two coaches who are,
wow,
man, I would think, on somewhat of hot seats. I think almost any coach in the history of the NHL would have been fired by now after two disappointing seasons and this.
And then you pair that against what you saw from Boston and what they did now.
Let's talk about that, Bob.
Totally opposite opinions.